double issue of Audio Arts was recorded in Kassel, Germany, during the opening days of Documenta 9. It includes artists, critics and commentators juxtaposed with installations and local ambience. We can hear Bruce Naumann's work Anthro Socio in one of the main exhibition venues, the Frederikianum, which comprised video monitors and video projection. A head rotates on the screens chanting, "Feed me, eat me, help me, hurt me." With its budget of 15.6 million Deutschmarks, its new exhibition buildings and 180 artists, Documenta 9 is already the most visited Documenta ever. And as Jonathan Borowski claims, this is the biggest show on the planet for art. The debates, disappointments and opinions are explored vigorously throughout this issue, which starts with critic Stuart Morgan. Stuart, what pieces have emerged for you as being interesting and important?
I don't even know if it's about separate pieces and whether they're important or not. It seems to be more to do with making general statements about where to put the chips in at any given time and what's important at any given time, rather than separate stunts, which is what Documenta is usually about. There are very beautiful pieces, though. The Bill Viola piece is beautiful, and everyone is talking about it. The Gary Hill piece is extremely beautiful as well, although I'm not sure that I understand it. Every day I go in and I see something different in it. First time I went in, I thought that all the people were turning away from me, and all I saw as I walked past was people turning their backs on me. Today I went in again, and what I saw was people confronting me and coming towards me and being very large and not knowing what to do. Today the people were very disconcerted. Yesterday I was very disconcerted. There is actually a piece by Erika Rothenberg about Rorschach blots and what they mean, and Gary Hill has actually done it. He hasn't talked about it, he's done it.
So if it's not about individual pieces and individual stunts, what about the generality of the show? How would you describe it and talk about it?
I think the generality of the show might be to do with the lack of the kind of confrontation that people expect from Jan Hoot. What Jan Hoot is famous for is putting very different works together and allowing them to talk or scream or shout or whisper to each other across a space. If Documenta had come out the way that they planned it, it would have had 90 works at the most. It then went up to 100, then it went up to 120, and so on. Now we have so many works together that they really can't talk to each other and get that dialogue that Hoot is famous for.
Compared to the last Documenta, is there a very specific shift or distinction that you can identify in this Documenta 9?
Last Documenta was a kind of survey of a lot of things, one of them being the ways that art related to design and architecture and the outside world. This one is more like the Documenta before that, the Rudi Fuchs Documenta, which, as you'll remember, was a sort of fairy tale Documenta about the re-rise of narrative. And it was when Clemente was coming up and Kiefer and all those painters, people with actually some subject matter and something to say. Now, this Documenta comes at what a lot of people feel is a low point in European art. But I don't think that the organisers felt that at all, because the organisers were very well chosen. Jan Hoot had been doing his work in Ghent for a number of years, and clustering around a certain group of Belgian artists, Jan Verkreuser would be a good example, and showing them again and again, not only in Ghent, but beginning in the last few years to show them in Japan, for example, to represent these people abroad. Dennis Akeropoulos, of course, has five or six workable languages. He's Greek, he lives in France, he teaches in Vienna. Dennis's writing baffled me for years, and Dennis's writing, as I understand it now, is about what can't get written in the gaps between all the languages that he has, which is a very good thing for an art critic to think about. Dennis travels a great deal and has worked mainly in France, but knows Italian art pretty well as well. Pierluigi Tazzi also is a traveller, and in fact Pierluigi used to be in a performance company. he always travelled because they were always on tour, and when he stopped the performance company, I think he was always on tour again. He just never stopped. All these people have in common is a group of artists that they support to the hilt. And so for Kreutzer would be a good example. Jean-Marc Bustamante would be another example. This is Harold Klingelhöller, artists who are essentially abstract, sculptural, and not romantic in the way that I've spoken about, but certainly light in touch. We're talking about small works and essentially small installation works. I don't mind that there's not a predominant agenda. I think that there is a, I think there's a frame of mind, and I think there is a certain politics about what I've been saying. The fact that something is small scale is an important thing to say. The fact that an artist like Thierry de Cordier can get an audience in Belgium and increasingly in Europe says a great deal. The idea of a small clutch of critics supporting a certain band of artists who means something to them, and following this through all the way to a documenta, that means a great deal. And that's not something that we've been having for, 10 or 15 years now.
How does it pan out to the British selection? I mean, how do you think that fits into this argument?
British selection doesn't fit into the argument in any way, and there's no way from what I've said that there could be a fair British selection, I think. There are only four or five British artists, and they're all sort of oddballs. They don't fit into a general pattern at all. I'm not sure why Francis Bacon was chosen. It was very nice that he was, and it would have been very nice that if he'd come. And certainly the painting had changed very late in his career, and people can see just what kind of a change it is now. I never thought I'd see a Francis Bacon painting I thought was erotic. Murderous, never erotic. It seems that it's not a very diligent choice of the British, and not a very good use of them, I think. What people talk about as new British art is very often a weak kind of take on conceptual art, or a weak kind of take on minimalist art, which never came to England with any force. And I think that doesn't fit in here, and it could be that it doesn't fit in to the general pattern, full stop. Jan Hoot is fond of some kinds of painting. I don't know who is responsible for putting quite so much painting of an old-fashioned apeshit variety into the present documenta. It could have been Dennis, or it could have been Pierluigi. I'm really not sure. But there is a great deal of it. There is a lot of thick painting. Thick painting is viable only in certain parts of Europe. It's extremely viable in Vienna, where the intellectual increment that inhered in thick painting originally, that we had in Jackson Pollock, has never gone down to a second or a third generation. It is still there. You have all the gestures, you have all the brushstrokes, you have all the emotion, but you still have the intellectual increment. And that would explain the Viennese. It would explain to a certain extent Eugène Leroy, who is here, and it would explain some of the younger Germans like Christanea. But there are a lot more than that. There's far more painting of a certain type than I suspected that there would be. What we come back to is, of course, the installations for which Jan Hoot is so famous. We have the thick painting, and I don't know quite where that comes from. So we have a strong intellectual increment proposed to us in various ways. What I didn't expect was the Dara Birnbaum's, a certain degree of American intellectual art. Mainly, though, we go towards the Robert Gorbers, the Charles Rays, a new kind of emotionalism, and something that's not quite as ordered as it should be. There's quite a lot of that, too. This has great support, too, in Europe, notably in Rotterdam. We're dealing with a circuit of galleries here and a circuit of museums, too, who support one new type of American art. It's surprising that there's so much American art, in fact, because neither Pierluigi nor Jan Hoot nor Dennis Zakharopoulos have been great supporters of American art, apart from American art of a a very single stripe. Ellsworth Kelly is a great favourite of Dennis Zakharopoulos's, for example. There is a lot of American art, and a lot more than I expected there would be.
Michel Giraud, you're from Paris, editor of Canal magazine. You've had a chance, I think, to look around Documenta 9. What are your first impressions?
My first impression is I like very much the big building of Freddy Canum, because for me, I have seen four Documenta in the past, and I think the first time I see the intrications with known artists and unknown artists, and with the multimedia and the painting and the photo and the painting. And we have a good example with Kluger and the American the name of the American here,
Bruce Nauman.
And that, I think, it's very good for me. It's a symbol of the Documenta, because we have a sort of sound poetry, sound visual poetry, with Bruce Nauman, with crying, and the Kluger from Vienna, with little ants. And for me, it's the same. It's such a big poet, big poem. And I try to make a sort of new reportage in Canal on that impression of the body. It's the body of the visual, it's the body of the concept, the body of the voice, the body of the televisions with TV Van Gogh. It's all the body. And that, I think, is very important. For the first time, we have some people like, I love very much the Durham, from Mexico. It's the son of a chief Cherokee. And that is very important. And we have a good meeting 1 month ago with him, with Durham, because he's a sort of submarine. It's a poet. He writes tales, and he makes very special pieces, you know. Inside, outside, and on the river.
What do you think the importance of Documenta is now?
Now, I think now, Janot, I know Janot, you know, but Janot, I think, is... he succeeded to open the Documenta to many, many, many people. It's not a Documenta of avant-garde, of new things. It's a Documenta to open the mind of, I think, I hope, millions of people, you know, to the concept, the radical concept of art. Art is not avant-garde or post-modern or modern. Art is art. And that is very important. It's not ethnic, it's not past, it's now, only now.
This is Jonathan Borofsky.
We're standing here in the square in front of the Fredericianum, and you have your piece here installed. Is there a particular character or characteristic of installing a work here in Documenta? And how did it determine your piece, or did you make the piece elsewhere and bring it here and install it?
I had this idea sometime before the Castle show, but it fit in very well with Jan Hoet's idea of displacement and taking things out of their normal location and putting them somewhere else, so I suggested this piece to him.
In fact, it gives a sense of both ambiguity and also defying gravity. It's a man...
Yeah, walking to the sky, and it's both a personal statement of my own hopes and my own fears, both. Basically, I think it's a positive thrust of energy, heading humanity coming out of the earth, coming out from the ocean, towards the heavens. And at the same time, there's a slight bit of fear, because what happens when the man reaches the end of the pole? And is this pole one's lifetime? I can't say. Or is it tomorrow that the pole ends? Yes, a spiritual statement is what I would say.
I mean, when you come across it for the first time, it's also disturbing, because the man is defying gravity and doing something that a human being, in fact, couldn't do in that particular position.
Yeah, but not too bad. I mean, yeah, it's true, but that's what we're always doing every day, is trying to defy gravity and do something we couldn't do before. It's our learning process. This is how we learn, is to do something new and fall down and do it again until we learn it.
did you decide on the particular location here in relation to the building, Fredericianum?
Yes, although it was supposed to be a little further to the center of this piece of grass, but in fact we hit a wall of the city, an old city underneath, and some steam pipes, so we had to move it a little too close to this piece over here, but we're both surviving the move.
And is it going to be a permanent piece, or will you install it elsewhere?
Well, we hope to install it elsewhere and find a home for it. I guess that's another way of saying we hope to sell it, I guess. But if not, we can store it here in Castle. But we have a lot of people that like the piece, and I think it will find a home.
And what do you think about the overall context of Documenta? Because clearly you're outside of the buildings.
I haven't had much time to, and it's the wrong time to make judgments like that for me, because it's... It's too much energy of just running into old friends here to really see the work, and I would like to come back in a more peaceful time. Yeah.
So, on a positive note, it's presumably an opportunity to make and install and be commissioned to make a new work.
Yeah, and to talk to a lot of people, give your ideas to a lot of people at one time. This is the biggest show on the planet, I guess, for art, and it's rather exciting to get a chance to do something like this.
Now I'm in the new Documenta Halle, where works by Rosepin Kelsey, Mario Mertz and Shildo Morellis are installed. These are the sounds of the installation by Morellis, which comprised dense curtains of wooden rules and clocks placed floor to ceiling around a yellow room about 5 meters square.
Speaking to Mario Mertz now, this is a new work you have made especially for Documenta?
In reality, it's not a work. It's a assemblage of work. Was good for the representation here because the light is good, and I never see this kind of paper painted at my home because it's too big. At my home is too. So it's possible. Look, I like the wall. It's this kind of paper.
It's a vast wall along the bottom of which are bunches of twigs with neon numbers, and then above there are large paper paintings that you've installed here.
The system, the linear system of Fibonacci. Do the possibility to explain the space of the wall, the space of the meaning, the space of generally the space in any case. So it's possible to do one of this idea.
You've got the branches and twigs.
Yeah.
How are they meant to relate to the paintings on paper above on the wall? Do they relate?
The relation?
Yes.
The relation is horizontal. The system of the... How in English? The horizonte. Giorno? The horizonte.
Horizontal, yes.
Yeah. The possibility to look at the outside of the horizonte and in this way, in this part of the... This is near us, and the painting are very large amount out.
Is this a new arrangement of works to combine nature, natural materials, with
this is
painted
mine,
paper?
This is mine feeling generally. It's many years I do this combination. It's important for our life.
And this must have taken you a long time to install this piece here. It's a very big piece.
Yeah. Oh, I was here two, three times in the large time of 2 months. But two, three times we did the work.
Right.
Yeah.
You have worked with the Fibonacci series for a long time, haven't you?
Oh, 20 years. More than 20 years.
And it still is important
it's
to you?
It's important, yes, yes. It's not finished, I hope.
Yeah. And just the relationship between the Fibonacci series numbers in neon, but placed within the wooden bales of twigs. What is the relationship between the neon numbers, Fibonacci, and the twigs?
The neon numbers, why? Mm. I don't know exactly, because it's in the system of the world, the electricity is inside, so it's possible to put inside of the work. I am nothing against the electricity.
And just finally, how do you feel about the overall context of Documenta, of the exhibition? Do you think it is working?
I am here, like you, for look. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
My name is Lars Nitve, and I'm the director for the Roseum Center for Contemporary Art in Malmö, Sweden.
So, Lars, you've looked around Documenta here, Documenta 9. I mean, what's your impression of it so far?
I mean, to put it very briefly, it's as an exhibition, if I can see it as an exhibition, I really can't. It's quite horrendous, I think. But on the other hand, I can see several good works here and works, installations and so forth, definitely.
You use the term horrendous. I mean, perhaps you could elaborate on that.
I mean, you can always discuss the selection in an exhibition like this. And, of course, I think there are too many artists in it. There should be maybe 100 less or so, and it could make a good exhibition. But I think the main problem is how the layout and the installation is being made, the combinations between various artists, how they are packed together, so to say, into the most strange combinations. I'm thinking about Bryce Marden together with Jonathan Lasker and Ola Christopher Jensen, and which is, they kill each other. And it's that kind of the meanings created through the various combinations and so forth are just, it seems brain dead to me, to be pretty straight about it.
Lars, you've been quite critical of this Documenta, but I mean, do you think that there's been an agenda or a theme or a moment that's been missed in the selection of this particular exhibition?
Well, I can't say now, of course, what the theme should have been, and I'm not sure there should be a theme, but obviously they've tried to change the format or the idea behind what the Documenta is. Before, it was kind of summing up and also saying that this is what's the crucial questions and the crucial artists and works in this particular moment. And it's kind of, I would guess saying summing up of the last 5 years or so. Here they are at least partly trying to predict the future instead and to launch artists that are virtually unknown to even most professionals visiting here during the press days. And I think that's somewhat problematic in a prestigious exhibition like this one. Also, someone said that there is, who was very positive about this Documenta, that there is an agenda, but the problem is just that you can't formulate it. You can't say what it is. No one can say what it is, but it's there. I have some doubts about agendas of that sort. I think one at least should be able to, if nothing else, with kind of negative statements, try to circle around it and to describe it to a certain extent. And I think this is this has to do with, as John Hood says, intuition, his personal, I won't say divine, intuition. And I don't think that's enough for an exhibition of this kind. You have to have more responsibility, in a way, towards the artist, towards the viewers, towards the present situation.
In spite of that overall view, I mean, are there particular works that have become very memorable for you in the exhibition? Individual instances throughout the whole range of artists' presentations and installations that particularly will stick out in your mind that have made a big impression?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Gary Hill's video installation, for example, was fantastic and a strong and rich and multi-level experience, for example. I like Rachel Whiteread's Floor quite a lot, just to take name two examples. There's a Finnish artist that I guess not that many people think much about or react to that are in the temporary pavilions, Jussi Niva, whom I think is an extremely interesting artist, continuing working in a superficially in a tradition from Barnett Newman to up to Günter Ferg, but doing something entirely different at the same time. I mean, seeing a thing like that, not knowing much about it before, is quite striking, I think. And so there are several great experiences here. Anish Kapoor's pieces, obviously, quite fantastic, and so on.
I mean, how important is an event of this sort from the perspective of Sweden, do you think, contemporary art in Sweden?
Oh, it's very important. It's extremely important because this is an exhibition of this dignity is an exhibition where lots of artists go to it, and lots of critics and people who are interested in art go to it. So it's very influential, and it creates an image of what is the international, within quotation marks, situation right now. And therefore, it's quite important that it's well made and well defined in a way also. It's very important, and it's also very important always, there are always discussions in countries like Sweden and Norway and Finland and so forth about why are there no Swedish artists or so forth in the documenta. There's one this year, for example, and this is the first time probably in four or five documentas. And I mean, it's really a topical thing, and all Swedish art journalists and art critics are down here to write about the exhibition. So it's quite important, and we'll see if it is after this documenta, but I would guess it is still, even though I've heard most people are quite disappointed.